You can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
The time is now to change the world, but I have to say, it's always interesting when the world changes for us here at Life Changes, and this is going to be one of those shows, as you will hear, because of what we're going to be talking about. It's going to change for all of us if Gary has his way. However, coming to doing this show, life changed. And let me tell you how. So we get all kinds of requests from publicists and agents. We get emails and calls and books sent to us about guests that want to be on our show. And there are so many that you know, you can only look. We try and do our best to decipher through what would be of interest to you and what has not been heard out there. You know, all these, we try and find the best guests for you all and for the concept of our show. And we chose our guest tonight, Gary Pylant, for many reasons. So there it is. And he's our guest. Now, in talking with Gary, after deciding that he would be our guest, we find out that Gary was friends with a certain pilot, because Gary is a pilot. You probably saw that on Facebook or on our website. Gary is a pilot, a chief test pilot, and a CTO, as a matter of fact. And one of his best pilot buddies was Archie Glenn Donahue, who was a U.S. Marine pilot and a colonel. And now Archie is a very decorated pilot and a very dedicated one for that matter, too. And if you go into the town where he lived before he died, there's a museum dedicated to him. There's a street named after him. And everybody in the town knows him and reveres him and sings praises to his name. Just a few of the things that Archie was known for. He flew a total of 215 combat missions during World War II. He was credited with a total of 14 confirmed aerial victories, and two of those missions, he shot down 5 planes, which makes him not just an ace, but a double ace. And he had more than 4,000 flying hours in military aircraft and 110 successful carrier landings on aircraft carriers. He never crashed a plane in all of that. And he received, he was a recipient of the Navy Cross, 3 Distinguished Flying Crosses, and 5 Air Medals. He was also an active participant in the Confederate Air Force. Now, there's so much more that can be said about Archie Glenn Donahue. Unfortunately, he passed on July 30th of 2007. But one other thing I'd like to say about Archie Glenn Donahue is that not only was he Gary's, our guest's buddy and favorite flying buddy, but he was Dorothy Donahue's, our producer's, father. And of all the guests to come knocking on our door to be a guest on our show, and of all the people that we picked someone who knew Dorothy Donahue's father very well. And so this is quite a special show. Dorothy and he have been on the phone since they both found this out. And even other U.S. Marine pilots are now informed and are listening in, and we're honored to have you listening in. Dorothy's family is listening in from all across the country because this is a special moment for them. One of them even commented, of 7 billion people in the world, this man goes and connects with the daughter of the man that he flew missions with. So how special is that? We're going to come back and actually get to know Gary more and talk about all kinds of interesting things here on Life Changes with Filippo, just as you would expect.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. Ionways ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
It is Filippo, and I'm still, in a way, I'm not baffled by this coincidence or serendipity because it's happening to so many of us all over the planet, more and more and more. But this in particular happened this way. Dorothy found out that our guest flew in the film Tora, Tora, Tora. And Dorothy said to me, after finding that out, you know, that was my father's favorite film, and he flew in the film Tora, Tora, Tora. And I said, well, does he know your father? And she said, I don't know. I'm going to ask him. And so she called him up and asked him, and the rest is history.
You know, this is we've been talking more about this, but you know, part of this shift that seems to be the center point of all of our shows and a lot of our discussions is just becoming more and more magical. We're seeing more and more synchronicity, and this is a perfect example because it starts to cross over, the line of what are, you know, you ask yourself, what are the odds of that happening?
Yeah.
You know, and it's something that you just can't script.
Yeah. Well, like one of the Marines said, 7 billion people on the planet.
Exactly.
And he's clear across the country. And here Dorothy is producing this show. And
you get the feeling that we're all connected.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get to know who we're connected here. Gary actually has a very extensive flying career in his own right, including flying the B-17 bombers in the movie Tora, 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 flying for the Atomic Energy Commission during atomic bomb testing. That's an interesting story. Actually flew through a mushroom cloud. I don't know if we'll get have time to get to that, but I just have to say he flew through a mushroom cloud. He flew B-17 firebombing aircraft for the U.S. Forest Service, and he flew DC-4s and Lockheed PV-2s for patrol bombers for the U.S. Agricultural Service. Gary is also a professional skydiver, a wing walker. I actually wrote that on Facebook. This man walked on the wing of a plane while the plane was in the air and flying. A wing walker, an aerobatic air show pilot, a glider pilot, and a night crop duster pilot. I mean, I guess if it comes to flying, he's done it all. As a matter of fact, Gary is the designer of the Candy Ship and is dedicated to the aircraft's simplicity, durability, safety, and making it easy to fly and maintain. Evidently, this is a car that flies. It's like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang fly?
It did fly.
Yeah.
That was a car that flew.
That was a car that flew.
But this is a little different.
Well, his design and vision will enable the Candy Ship to truly change the world of personal transformation. Well, speaking of personal transportation, but speaking of personal transformation, he's also dedicated to helping people with what he calls self-evident learning. And we're going to be talking mostly about that, but I just have to, can't wait to bring him on. Welcome Gary Pylant onto the show.
Hey, I'm so excited to be asked to be on the show. You guys are fabulous. And another thing that Dorothy and I have in common, our middle names is Lee, L-E-E.
Oh, really?
So not only did I fly with her dad, but I mean, we got to talking and it was just like deja vu. I mean, it was amazing.
Wow. So, we're going to have to find a way to connect you both in person soon.
Oh, we'll do it. Yeah.
Well, that's really special.
Where shall we start here?
Well, really, that's really a great question. Actually, we're going to be talking mostly about self-evident learning because it's so funny that self-evident or any kind of learning these days doesn't seem like self-evident at all. If you look at certain education systems, even what we think would be a good learning system is not happening. And you've got some interesting takes on this. So let's start with that because I know it's a big subject. I want to make sure we get.
Oh, okay. Self-evident learning came about because I went out of my body, and I could tell you all the details. But basically, first thing I did, I took my finger and I punched my chest to see if I looked down and see my body. So I punched my chest. I was still solid. The next thing, I could see 360 degrees. And I thought, wow, this is cool. And the next thing is, I asked for a tour of the universe, and I got it. All the way before the Big Bang, black holes, all 100 million light years across the universe. And you go, yeah, right, okay. Well, anyway, what I found out is...
Gary, were you flying around while you were being shown all of this?
Flying kind of denotes a physical something going on, and no, I was not flying. I asked to have a tour of this universe. It's amazing when you ask for things. I mean, be careful what you ask for. I mean, one of the things I say is the thoughts you entertain will entertain you. So, you know, thoughts are pretty powerful. But what I got out of it was that atoms have a memory chip in them. And then the other thing that was brought to my attention was the atoms also have a balance chip, you know, in the balance indicator in them. So if you start out, and because of this memory, this is what started the self-evident learning, because anybody can find out anything they want, anybody. I mean, you know, that's what self-evident learning is all about. So the thing that was so exciting, I got a picture of everything. And basically, our universe right now, they say, is 13.7 billion years old. And the way I like to explain evolution is, if we started out at the Big Bang and we had a freeway with 14 lanes on it, and every billion years we lost one lane, well, now we're down to about 30%, of one lane left, okay? And what this indicates is, instead of having a freeway that we could drive all over the place and make mistakes and do whatever we wanted and whatever, now evolution is moving so fast, and that thin line of balance is getting so thin that you have to be in balance. And the good news about all this is that institutions and things that are really holding back the evolution of us everyday people is going to kind of self-disintegrate, because they're so far out of balance. And if you understand physics, the thing that happens is basically you can't, well, like I can't build an, I'm an aeronautical engineer and a pilot, so I know I can't build an airplane with one long wing and one short wing. It has to be, everything has to be in balance. Well, anything on this planet Earth that's not in balance is going to go by the wayside. And the day of the warlords is over, as far as I'm concerned. And so where we're at is, like my website, selfevidentlearning.com, I put all the happy people on there I could, their videos and all that stuff, because when I jump out of an airplane, trust me, I'm not making judgment against anybody else on the planet. I'm not worrying about anything. It's just such a thrill that I am completely connected to myself. And when I say myself, I'm talking about all of us, the I am before the Big Bang and the I am right now. We're like a coin. We've got two sides, and the gold in between is what holds us together, and what holds us together to ourselves before the Big Bang is a golden thread. So anyway, this time period we're in right now is probably the most wonderful time there ever has been, and whether we want to admit it or not, the human race has been living like a bunch of caterpillars, and so now everybody knows there's going to be a change. So changing to the butterfly is of course a wonderful thing. We have five senses or six senses, and. And when I was traveling around the universe, I had 1,000 senses. I mean, I was so lit up, and I was so aware of so many beautiful things. There was not any kind of judgment on anything anywhere. It was just this flow that was great. Mm-hmm. And I did the best I can to put that on my website. I mean, I didn't think I would ever tell anybody about any of this stuff, but
here you are.
here I am. Yeah, here I am, blabbing away,
Through some mysterious alchemy. You know, I don't know about blabbing away, but I will say this, that in just what, however many minutes, you've said things that I've never heard before. So let's start with, for example, atoms have microchips in them. Okay, that's interesting. And then you said that evolution is moving so fast. I have to say that growing up, we learned about evolution and that, supposedly we came from apes and all that. I don't know if that I believe that per se, but we also learned about what the evolutionary future would look like. Like, we're all going to have big heads because we're using our brain more. I don't know if that's even true, that we're using our brain more these days, if you look at some people, but And that we're, our little toe's going to go away because we don't need it for balance anymore, and we don't use our pinky, and that's going to go away. And you're saying evolution is moving so fast. I'm looking at us saying, I kind of look the same way I did when I was little. So what kind of evolution are we talking about?
Well, you know, I say caterpillar. I don't mean we're going to go into a cocoon and hang upside down. What is happening to us, and is it those, our senses we have are being lit up, and then we, as we are making a transition, which I'll call the butterfly, we will become more aware of everything. Have you ever heard of the Doppler shift?
Yeah.
What is it?
I have no idea. You asked me if I'd heard of it. I'm being honest, I've heard of it.
I got that one.
No, you didn't, because I actually studied this in physics, both in high school and in college. So, yes, I have heard of it. I don't remember a thing about it. Remind me, please.
Okay. Let me refresh your mind then. The Doppler shift is, say if we have a race or a race car, and it's a long straight road, and we're, say, in the middle of the road, and the car is coming
at
us.
I remember.
Okay,
and
tell
me. And the sound of it as it goes by is like, right?
Yeah, it goes round.
Right,
okay.
Or that way, yeah. I was thinking he had a flat
tire.
Here's
the point I want to make about this. If our senses of sight was more acute, as the car was coming at us, it would be blue. And then, right as it's passing us, it would turn to red. Okay? So you know, right now, I could go out there and look at a car coming and going, and it would just be the noise I would hear. But our senses are going to be, we're going to be able to see, we will be in touch with everything in this universe. And it's going to be wonderful. I mean, it for me, it already is wonderful, because I know that, I kind of know the game plan, you know. But, I know you're saying that I'm saying things you never heard before. Well, that's what happens when you fly through a mushroom of atomic bomb.
or flying on mushrooms, which is what I actually was thinking when I saw your website, because it's like, this is one happy man. So there is, because everything was, so I'm wondering, well, it's like, okay, he's either smoking something or knows something that we don't know.
Well, it's kind of, I asked for something and I got it. And science, as they are practicing today, it starts at the Big Bang and comes right up to today. And they've done really well, but most of the science has been the last 100 years, and, you know, started 200 years ago. But when you take 14,700,000 years, that's kind of slow, don't you think? So anyway, the bottom line is the human race is changing, and it's on autopilot. Everybody's going to be a butterfly. Nobody has to worry about it. But the one point here I also want to add on thinking about it. When I was, it started when I went to Cochabamba, Bolivia, to pick up one of the B-17s for the movie Tora, Tora, Tora. We bought two airplanes down there and brought them back. But I met a guy at the orphanage down there, and we talked, and, you know, nothing too big about that. But then when I landed at the testing site there in Area 51 in Nevada, I walked into this big room. A couple hundred people were going to train for the test, and this guy's sitting on the stage with the other scientists. And anyway, you know, they're talking about different size bombs, and, you know, like they could, you know, level New York with one bomb, you know. And so anyway, when the meeting and all the training got over with, I went up and asked him. I says, "Hi," and, you know, he says, "Hi, Gary." He remembered my name. And I got to talk to him. I said, don't you feel a little bit bad about snuffing 1 or 2 million people in the blink of an eye? And I'll never forget this statement. I mean, it stuck with me all these years. He says, Gary, that's not how we look at it. He says, all we do is change their expression of reality. He says, you can't kill energy. You only change it from one form to another. And I said, no, shiskies. I said, you vaporize them, you know? And so I thought about that and thought about it and thought about it. And I thought, oh, man, this, you know, these people, I didn't understand it. I was 28 years old, and I just couldn't wrap my head around that. But as time went on, when I was, I think, about 42, is I was trying to teach my son how to do backflips on a trampoline, and I went up and come down and landed on my head, broke my neck, broke my back, went out of my body, and got the tour of the universe. And
That's how you did it.
Yeah. Anyway, then I started realizing what, I'll just call this guy Carl to give him a name. Anyway, I started understanding what he meant by all we do is change our expression of reality, because I've died twice and came back and I thought, okay, if all we do is change expression of reality, then you know, what's the next level for the human race, you know? And basically, we are going to be fine-tuned, all the riffraff, all the warlords, and all the junk is going to be eliminated. And I'm excited about our future.
I can tell.
I know that everybody's going to have fun. You know.
Wow. Well, you're a step ahead of a lot of us, I guess. So I guess what you're trying to say to people is you know, listen to this and follow what I'm saying. You don't have to break your neck in order to get the information I got. I got it for you, right?
Well, you know, it's like when the Wright brothers invented a flying machine. Well, you know, right after that, everybody and their uncle invented a flying machine, and they'd already been working on them, you know, prior to that.
Right.
And self-evident learning is a way to, well, what you really, Einstein said is, he says, if I can find the question, then I can get the answer. So it's the questions that are really the challenge. If you can get the right question, you will get the answer, because through self-evident learning, which all that means is that the whole universe, if you could picture every atom has a history of everything all the way back to the Big Bang. Every time you thought something, felt something, each and every atom has that in real time. And you can go draw that information, whatever information you want, you can go draw it back out. I mean, I just invented three different vehicles that are street legal. They'll be licensed as three-wheel motorcycles. And you can, they're drive or fly. You don't have to do anything but drive or fly them.
Yeah, you know, actually, hold on to that. I'd like to talk a little bit about that when we come back, because that's a whole other subject, and they look cool too. So anyway, we're talking to Gary Pilant, and he's a pilot and so much more. He already mentioned his website. I'll do it again. It's selfevidentlearning.com. Actually, that's one of them. But we'll get to know Gary a lot more when we come back here on Life Changes with Filippo right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, we are talking to Gary Pilant, and this is Filippo Voltaggio here on Life Changes with Filippo. And during the break, we've got a guest in the studio, and we were just talking amongst ourselves, going, "Wow, you know, can you fathom all of this?" And I suppose when you go and see everything in the universe, and you find out things like atoms have microchips or something, it's kind of like you can't unring a bell. You can't unlearn something unless you forget, like I forgot about the Doppler effect. But, so his mind has been expanded to a place that most of us, our mind doesn't get expanded to. And so this is fascinating. So, Gary, before we went on a short break there, you started to mention what I think you're calling the candy ship, which Mark and I earlier were talking about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, because that's like a childhood fantasy of everybody, of mine. So how do you, let's talk a little bit about the candy ship.
Well, okay, I'll just real briefly on that. On the self-evident learning website, just I think it's either below above my picture. There's the website. You can click on it and go to the candy ship. We've got three models, the candy ship one. We have the leapfrog, and then we also have the gumdrop. And the gumdrop is really cool. My partner, Mark Rumsey, invented it, and it's a vertical takeoff, a one-person vertical takeoff, so you can commute to work, and it's the coolest thing you've ever seen, and our names are cool. So anyway, you can go there and look at all that stuff. What I'd like to fill the blanks in right now is the black holes, they're calling the black holes out there. What those are reservoirs of well, I think I would probably prefer to call it emotion and evolution. And anyway, if you look at the whole universe, it's going in a big spiral into the black holes. And they're really not black. They're pure lights, what they really are. But everything in the physical, all the emotion, thoughts, everything, you know, that's going on is sucked into that, and it goes back to us before the Big Bang. And then we have golden threads that come from the I am us back to us. And so this is a complete circuit. It's, you know, and I put it, people must be going, holy shiskies, where'd this guy come from? I tried to tell, you know, like Caltech, Stanford, and these, you know, these research institutes, and they just don't even want to hear me talk about none of this stuff. And it's like the big CERN, in CERN Geneva, the big collider. I said, hey, I said, you're not going to find the answers of the atom you're looking for in that thing. I said, I know you spent $8 billion and you got 6,500 people working there day and night. But I said, you're not going to get the answer you're looking for. And they don't want to hear me. But anyway, the whole universe, it's a complete circuit. And our science, if they don't start before the Big Bang, they'll never be able to travel in space. And you have to be, you can't, like, there's a million zillion atoms in this universe, but there's only 92 elements. And what they're trying to do is take a 92-element human body and put it in a 92-element spaceship and shoot it off, and using 92-element fuel, and shoot it off, you know, to outer space. Well, it won't work that way. The only way we can travel in outer space is to change our frequency and go there and then take the elements there and turn it in to ourselves or whatever we want. And that's how it's going to happen. And
well, there again, Gary, the only way we can travel into outer space is if we go there by changing our frequency and then using the elements that are there. I mean, it's fascinating because I never really thought about that. We're using the elements from here to try and go someplace else. In a sense, that doesn't make sense if you say there are other elements there. So let me ask you this. How is it then that if there are aliens that come here, are they doing something similar to what you're saying, but
well,
opposite?
I was talking to Dorothy about that today, and I don't really, for some reason, I've never had, I've seen a couple, I mean, you know, I've flown 20,000 hours. You'd think I'd see aliens flying all over the place. But I have seen what appeared to me as flying saucers three times, I think. And, and I also knew Wendell Stevens, who was a flying saucer researcher and a colonel in the Air Force. And so we talked a lot about all that, and I kind of read some of his books. I don't know about Dorothy would be the person to talk to about, you know, about aliens.
Yeah, you're right about that. I'm wondering about the theory. Would the theory work the other way around?
Well, no. I think if they're coming from, you know, a million or two light years away, they're going to have to, they won't be using 92 elements of anything. They have to be pure thought. It's, you know what, all this stuff's not as hard as you think it is. I mean, you know, you break it down and it seems pretty simple to me now. In fact, that's why I thought up self-evident learning, and I actually want to become a public speaker and be a teacher and do seminars and think tanks, and I mean I can tell you how to do think tanks. It'll blow your mind.
So, speaking of blowing our mind, Gary, besides everything that you're saying, if it's okay, I'd like to, or you tell our listeners how old you are, because let me preface it like this, because I know a lot of people that years that are much more your junior, much younger than you, that are talking about retirement. They're talking about, being bored with life and they can't wait to stop working. And you, in just one sentence there, we're saying you're going to be a public speaker, you're going to be teaching this and do think tanks, et cetera, et cetera. And you are at the young age of what?
73. November 16th, I was 73. So I don't know, how far are we into this year now?
That's my birthday. We finally have something in common. Just kidding.
Do what now?
I was just playing with you. Seven bright young 73. So what? This is important too. So how does one at 73 have that kind of energy and aspiration? And because you're talking like you're going to live at least another 73.
Well, my angels told me I was going to live 944 years.
Wow. See, you're definitely talking about a whole different way.
I tell you what, this guy that I'm calling Carl tonight, that was at the Atomic Energy Commission and all that, I asked him, I said, how old are you? How long have you been on this earth? He said, 2,200 years.
Wow.
And that was in 1968.
So he's older now.
He's really a lot of, yeah. But the thing he told me was, he says, I'm not limited to just what you see before you. He says, I can change my frequencies. It's no different than changing the channel on your TV. And he says, I can have all kind of fun. And I mean, it just was such a mind blower. Now, today, I would say, well, teach me how to do that, you know? And so, I wasn't ready then, but I am now. And I think most of the people on the planet now, whether they know it or not, are ready to learn what I'm talking about and what he was talking about to me. And I picked the most dangerous type of flying I could possibly do. I went to 2 to 7 funerals every year for 30 years. And so people would say, what kind of insurance do you buy? And I said, well, I'm immortal. I don't need insurance. Mm. And they, of course, give me that funny look, you know. I guess when I came into this planet this time, I just somehow I knew that there was more than what I could see with my eyes and taste, touch, and all that stuff.
Gary, I believe that, and I know you like the movie The Secret. There's one scene in it where they talk about the chief of the Indians or something was able to see the ships coming towards the shore when the other people, Indians, couldn't. Because they didn't believe that there was a ship out there. They'd never seen one before, so they actually physically couldn't see it. And so I liken this conversation to that. What you're saying, ironically, could someday be self-evident. And people could say, well, of course, you could live 9,000 years if you want, or of course, you just shift dimension. But from here, you're almost like that chief in the village where people either think, you know, this guy's doesn't know what he's talking about, or, we want to see how you're seeing it. So more power to you for sharing what you believe or what you came on this planet knowing. You've already had quite a history. I can't imagine how much of a history you're going to have after 900 more years. So, we'll have to talk again in a few seconds.
Okay. Are we at the end of our deal here?
We're at the end of our deal, but if there's one quick thing that you want to share with the audience, we'd love to have you say it.
Okay. I always think it's everybody needs to say what they want right now, because in the equation, want is what started everything. So anyway, right now I'm looking for a personal assistant, somebody that, you know, computer writer, PowerPoint presentation skills, wants to travel, raw foods, work out and be a training partner. The other thing I'm looking for is a financial business partner for the Candy Ship, Sheer Beauty Innovations, and Self-Evident Learning, and then donations for writing of my book, Self-Evident Learning. So that's, how's that for getting it all in?
I think you did. And if we had to sum up your whole message, correct me if I'm right, is that be happy?
Oh, that's without a doubt. And in fact, you go to my website, I mean, you'll see more smiling, happy, fun, loving people than any place. You know, I mean, I've been happy all my life, every day's an adventure. I mean, it's more fun. you talk about age. I mean, what's age, you know? I guess age is when people quit being excited about life. I don't know what else to say.
There you go. Well, you're excited, and it's infectious. And I looked at your website, and I have to say that I, after a while, started smiling. And I have to admit, I was thinking, look at all this fun stuff here. So if you wanna play and be happy and also learn something in the process and have your beliefs questioned and maybe even expand your mind, go to selfevidentlearning.com. Gary, it's been a pleasure and a lot of fun.
Well, Felipe, it's my pleasure, and tell Dorothy, you know, bless her and thank her with all my heart. She's wonderful. And you guys are all wonderful. So I'm so glad that you're my new friends.
Thank you. Right back at you. You have a great evening now.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
All right, ciao.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back with our producer's wrap and our producer, Mark Leger, right after this.
Are you achieving your highest potential? Do you know what that looks like? Louise Ashby Life Coaching makes it a mission to bring balance and abundance to every area of your life, giving you the opportunity to do and be all that you've dreamed. Anything is possible if you just believe. Contact author and motivational speaker Louise Ashby for your complimentary session and see if her individualized style is for you. You can email Louise at louiseashby.org. That's LOUISEASHBY.org, or telephone 323-592-3181. That's Louise at louiseashby.org, or telephone 323-592-3181.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
We are Life Changes with Filippo, and like I said, life changed just now.
Life changed.
And this is our producer's wrap with me and Mark Leger, or Mark Leger and I.
I'm beginning to wonder just how old you and I really are.
You know, I've joked around about that, but, you know, my parents say that I was born of them.
Well, you know, it's to people who have never heard talk like that, it seems kind of out of this world. But yet, when you go back and you read Sumerian texts or Essene Brotherhood texts or a lot of the Egyptian
or the Bible,
or the Bible,
Moses was like 800 years old or something.
Reference to Moses and Noah and Thoth of Egyptian lore that have, you know, supposedly, you know, had lived a multi-spectrum, multifaceted life. So it went on for years. So that was interesting that he touched on that. But
Moses probably got people coming up to him saying, "Get out! You're not 800 years old. You don't look a day over or a century over 300 or something."
But I think those topics are probably for a whole different show. But what I thought was interesting, and the science these days is starting to corroborate this, is the idea that he was touching on, and I think would be more specifically discussed in holofractographic terms, right, for Nassim, our good friend.
Don't ask me. I don't know.
Is the idea
is that like
the whole
the Doppler
universe,
effect, or is that different?
That's a good point. Maybe I should just discuss it. Why don't you just sit and listen for a moment?
Okay. All right.
Is the idea that the whole universe is inside of an atom. And that was a very powerful statement, and pointing to a lot of what he saw, how he experienced this expansive, you know, influx of information with this what seems to be a near-death experience or something like that. It's information. We're starting to learn that the vacuum is information. Dark matter is information. We're now recognizing that DNA is programmable. Water stores information. The idea of space is information. But then more importantly, I think the big aha, which he pointed to, and I kind of wanted to draw attention to it because I think it's so huge and we're going to hear more about it, and I want to give him the kudos for what he's doing with self-evident learning and how this information is brought forward, is the idea that the atom is a reflection or a replication of the universe, and that all information is stored within that. Just like they were able to unlock that mushroom cloud of devastation, that much energy from splitting atoms.
Yeah, and that there's a microchip in the...
The microchip is what he's saying is he's representing that it's information. It's stored.
It's stored, yeah.
And so there's endless information within an atom, and we're starting to understand then that when you just rearrange the atoms, which is a rearranging of thought energy, which is what? A rearrangement of perception.
Yeah.
Just exactly what he was saying.
Yeah. So like a witch in the children's book that says, "I'm going to turn you into a frog." She's just rearranging the atoms.
The perception.
The perception.
That's true.
You know, actually, on his website, he does say that all the information that we, all of us, were here before the Big Bang. And so he started to say it at the end because he's got all these equations that he uses, Einstein's equations within these new equations that he's coming up with, that he started to say it all starts with want. So I remember in one of his equations that we wanted this experience. So
we being our
me
integration mainly me with the aspect of the greater, not we, me in the sense of you and I, me in the sense of our aspect of a greater, you know, unified energy.
Right. Our unified consciousness. Right. Yeah. I was thinking it was kind of me and you and Dorothy and all of our friends and
hanging out.
Yeah.
Water and wine.
Having coffee and or wine, whatever. And so whatever that we is existed, and we wanted an experience. So we threw a bang of a party. And after the Big Bang,
900 and some years later,
we were all drunk.
Here we are.
And so he says that all that information, all of this started from this want. And so somehow I got that he was equating that what we want now, we can have in the same way, because that's just how it's done.
You know what? We're, again, going back to the synchronicity at the beginning, what we're talking about, this is happening more and more and more. And right. You're starting to realize that the limit is only your disbelief what we've been taught is possible, and therefore what we set in terms of those possibilities, where we set the bar. We have a friend of the show who has put out a specific intention of where they wanted to live and the surroundings that they wanted to be surrounded by and the people they wanted to work with and the animals they wanted around, and not within 12 hours did they land in the absolute perfect place.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just simply asked for it, but more importantly, they asked for it from a position of certainty and knowing. Didn't put out any mixed statements, said this is what I want and I know I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
And got it. And I'm seeing that more and more in my own life and in our lives around us. And we're realizing that the limit to that is simply within us, is our own disbelief as to what is or isn't possible.
Yeah. From